He carries us. Have you ever seen that? This poster is probably 20, 30 years ago. There's Footsteps in the Sand. I think that was the title. It was just one set of footprints, and the caption said, you know, God, it looks like you left me. And he said, no, those are my footprints. I'm carrying you. So I believe that's happens throughout our life. And I want to read to you what I said this, I think, last week. This is the faithfulness of God. It means God is unchanging in his nature, true to his word. True to his word, has promised salvation to the people and will keep his promises forever. He is worthy of eternal trust no matter how unlikely his promises seem. He is worthy of eternal trust no matter how unlikely his promises seem. Nothing in heaven or on earth can prevent God from accomplishing all that he has promised his people through Jesus Christ. This reliability of God should be a great source of comfort and strength for God's people as they repeatedly fail and go through trials and suffering. Faithful is an accurate description of God, who he is. He is trustworthy, reliable, dependable, and sure. It is who God is. In the Hebrew, it literally means to prop up. Faithful means to prop up, to hold up, to support. So when we say God is faithful, he is supporting you. He is propping you up. Hebrews 10:23 says this, so now we must cling tightly to the hope that lives within us, knowing that God always keeps his promises. God always keeps his promises. Always. This is why in Corinthians it says they are yes and amen. So our knowledge of the faithfulness of God and his promises will carry us, or should carry us, through every difficulty in our life. Every difficulty. This is what we need to do. Psalms 37, verse 3. This is what we need to do. Are you ready? Keep trusting in the Lord and do what is right in his eyes. Fix your heart on the promises of God and you will be secure. Feasting on his faithfulness. So the first part there says, keep trusting in the Lord. Trust. What are you trusting in? People say, well, I'm just trusting God. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? It means to trust in his goodness. It means that you're trusting in his love. God loves you so much, and you can't do anything outside of that love. Now, you know, when I say things like this, people get all uptight because they think that, oh, so you just condoning sin? You know, I love my kids, and there's nothing they can do to cause me to stop loving them. But having said that, if I knew that they were taking drugs, I wouldn't just go, well, that's okay. You know how much I love you. No, I'm going to go to him and going, what in the world do you think you're doing? You're killing yourself. You need to stop that. Quit that. But my love never stops. This is what sin, and this is our relationship with God. God is a loving father, and he doesn't want you to be in sin because he was going, hey, sin will kill you. It's not good for you. Stop it. But it has nothing to do with his relationship with you and me. That's a powerful thing. That is an extremely powerful thing, that God is going to love you the same. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, as much as he loves Jesus, does he love you with that same love. Wow. Trust. You know, and I know people get like this. There's times in our life that we've trusted people and they've let us down. I mean, there's been people who say, Pastor, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to leave this church. And I'm telling you what, this, I just want you to know, you can trust me. They're no longer here today. So, but this is what happens to people. We have people that we really love, maybe even a spouse that we really love, and all of a sudden that trust falls through. And if that starts happening over and over and over again, it can cause you and I, if we're not careful, to start building up walls. And the bad thing about that is that we even have a hard time trusting God because we feel like maybe he could fall through just like my spouse did, like my best friend did, like this person did, like that person did. I mean, I've had a best friend who did the ultimate betrayal to me. I mean, the ultimate, I guess, would be death, kill me. But he didn't do that. It was right underneath that one. And so, it was my best friend. And so you just have to battle through that and take it to God. Because if you don't, if you keep that inside of you, then that will affect how you trust God. God wants you to know that we can trust him no matter what. We can trust God. He wants us to know. So, you know, I if there's anybody here that you've been hurt severely because of somebody who's betrayed you or whatever, man, just give that to God. Don't keep that inside your heart. Give it to God. Give it to him and know that, Lord, they hurt me, but I do know one thing. Your love is an unfailing love, so I give that to you. He's the healer of the brokenhearted. He is. So God is faithful. How can a holy God be faithful to unholy me? Sometimes we think that, God, how can you be faithful to me? Man, I've messed up. I've done this. It's because of Jesus. God sees you and me through the blood of Jesus. You see, when you remember when Jesus was resurrected and Mary was going to grab him and he said, don't touch me because I have to go to my Father. He had to take the blood of the sacrifice, which was his own blood. And up in heaven, there is a temple in heaven. And there is a mercy seat. You know, Moses had made the Ark of the Covenant, and on top of the Ark of the Covenant was a mercy seat. And so they would apply the blood on that, so when God looked down, he wouldn't see the sins of the people, he would see the blood sacrifice. So now, Jesus goes up to heaven, and there's a mercy seat there, and he puts his own blood on that. And now, when God sees you, and he sees me, all of those who have accepted and been in covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ, who've accepted the blood sacrifice, now God looks through that blood and he doesn't see Tiffany. He sees the blood of Jesus. Amen. He sees Dwayne. He sees Ed. He sees Janet through the blood of Jesus. You know, have you ever put those rose-colored glasses on? It changes what everything looks like. I never did like them back in the 70s. You know, that was a thing. Those big glasses, and they had all different colors. I tried to be cool. I put them on and go, yeah, no. I don't like everything being blue. Oh, yeah, that's orange. It's real. They're psychedelic. You know, all kinds of colors. Yeah, that'll cause you craziness. But anyway, that's what God has done. He's put filters on his eyesight. He's put, what kind of filters? It's the blood of Jesus filters. So when he sees you and me, that's why the devil always wants to bring you up. Oh, look what you've done. Bring up your past. Bring up your failures. Bring up your weakness. Bring up this. Bring it up. And he brings it up. Why? Because he doesn't want you to see through the filters that God sees you through. That is such a free. That is such a free. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. But even if we are faithless, he will still be full of faith, for he never wavers in his faithfulness to us. Did you hear that? Guys, did you hear that? He will never waver in his faithfulness to us. He will never waver in his faithfulness. Even when we're faithless, even when we're doubting God, even when we have less faith than we've ever had in our life, you go, man, I just don't know. I don't have enough faith. You can just trust on the faithfulness of God and it'll take you out of your faithless situation and put you in a place of faith because of him, not because of you. Man, that's powerful. Because the devil has done that to me. Oh, I just don't have any faith. I know who does, though. His name is Jesus. I'll just trust his faithfulness to get me through this. Romans 2:4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? And that word repentance there is not just mean, it does mean that you're sorry for what you did, but you know what the bigger meaning of that is? Change the way that you think. I thought I could sin in this way and to get my fulfillment that way. In reality, I'm going to think differently and know that my fulfillment is in Jesus. It's in fulfillment of Jesus. Do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to think differently? So, Psalms 37:3 says, keep trusting the Lord, do what is right in his eyes, or do good. When you know how good God is to you, it's easy to do good to others. It is. So, it's easy to be a blessing to others. Be a blessing to people. You have to do that intentionally. It's not in your flesh to do that, because our flesh, we want to take care of me, myself, and I. So you have to intentionally go, you know what? I'm going to help that person. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You have to intentionally do that. So do good. Then fix, it says in Psalms 37, fix your heart on the promises of God. Fix your heart on the promises, not the problems or what's going on. Everything in the world. I mean, if you're watching a lot of the news, you're probably depressed. You know, everything's going, you know. We're just on the verge of World War III. We're just on the verge. You know, you hear stories, oh yeah, the Chinese, they got submarines that are not too far away, you know, in Lebanon, they're going to maybe shoot rockets and this and all that. And so you just keep hearing this, and you keep hearing this. You go, lions and tigers and bears. Oh my! You just are so uptight. And you lose your peace. If you have lost your peace, it's because you're thinking and looking at the wrong thing. It says, fix your heart on the promises of God. Fix your heart on the promises. Jesus, you know, all the angels, you know, when we're getting ready to celebrate Christmas, I mean, like in about 2 weeks, but it just comes so fast, you know. It's just like, I'm pretty sure Christmas is more than once a year, but I just can't prove it. But the angel said, I bring you good tidings, great joy, peace on earth, goodwill toward, why? Because Jesus is here. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Well, unless, you know, there's war with Israel and Gaza and Hamas, you know, then we're not going to experience peace. Yeah, there's not going to be peace as far as the physical, but we have the peace of Almighty God. And this is the great thing. Peace, the angels had good tidings because they said peace is now on earth. Why? Because Jesus is on the earth. Now peace is not just on the earth. Peace is in us. Amen. Because he went to the death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus told his disciples, he says, I'm going to tell you something. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, but my peace I give unto you. In the world, you're going to have trials, tribulation, distress, frustrations, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I've deprived it of its ability to harm you. Amen. I have, John 16:33 amplified, I have deprived it of its ability to harm you. So if you're being harmed, you've been, oh man, those people offended me. I am so offended. It's your fault. Amen. All offense is your fault. How's that for good news? All offense, I'm going to say it again because some of you are going, I said all offense is your fault. Let me see if I can get a different response. I said all offense is your fault. Because Jesus has promised that nothing shall harm you.
Luke 10:19, behold, I have given to you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. So if you're being harmed, it's your fault.
But you don't know what they did to me.
Oh, yeah, that's in the fine print right in that same scripture. Not. No, it's not. I've told this illustration. The Lord gave me this because I was offended. You know, people were offending me in church. People were just offending me. So the Lord really gave me a great illustration. And I've told it before, but it's worth repeating. I probably told it 50 times, but it's worth repeating another 50. I had this, all of this armor on top of me, just around me, an AK-47, a rocket launcher on my back, a sword, a machete, and machine guns. And I mean, I was walking like this. I had so much weapons on me, I would have made Rambo look like a sissy. He would have taken one look at me and he would have ran. Anyway, somebody knocked on the door. So here I am with all of my armor, and I'm opening the door, and it's a guy in a black ski mask and all dressed in black, and he says, I'm here to rob you. And he has no weapons, no nothing. He just him. And I go, oh, you don't have any weapons. Well, here. And I give him my AK-47, and here's my pistol, and here, oh, the rocket launcher come in handy. And I just start handing him all my weapons. And the Lord says, that's what believers do when they get offended. Amen. You're letting somebody offend you, harm you. You gave him the gun to shoot you. So let me take a step back and say it again. All offense is your fault. Now you know why. That was a great illustration. That was the time to say, I get it now. I get it. I get it. I get it. So if you get offended, just know you gave them the gun to shoot you. So whose fault is it? Oh, they came to rob me and they shot me. Oh, what kind? Did they have a gun? No, but I gave them one. Can you imagine the police officer taking his report? Excuse me, have you ever had this happen before, Benny? They came to rob me and they didn't have a gun, so I gave them a gun. And they shot me with a gun that I gave them. Hold on 1 second. Yeah, we're going to need a white jacket. Can you bring that? Yeah. The paddy wagon. Yeah, bring it on. Yeah, yeah. All right. Moving right along. Fix your heart on the provinces. Then Psalms 37:3 says, feast on his faithfulness. Feast on his faithfulness. I've just been lacking in that, so I'm preaching to myself today. Feast on his faithfulness. What has God done for you? What has he done for you? How about your whole life? What good things has he done for you? Sometimes we just forget. I mean, we forget that, you know. Do you realize a large portion of the world doesn't even have good fresh water to drink? I hate Pueblo's water, but you know, anyway. Okay, it was not a good illustration. I'm a water snob. I shouldn't have even went down this road because I'm a water snob. But you know, I mean, people besides me can drink tap water and it's good. How many drink tap water? See, look, over the large portion of you all. If I come to your house, I won't drink it. But anyway, it's safe and it's good. Let me think of another illustration. Showers. Aren't you thankful that you have showers and you can bathe? A large portion of the water, of the world, they can't even do that. You know, a large portion of the world doesn't have 3 meals a day. A lot of people don't have a roof over their head. There's so many people that don't have an automobile. You may say, man, mine's a piece of junk. I know, but you have one. You can believe God for a better one, but if you got here today in an automobile, you have one. You can be thankful, be grateful. Amen. What does that mean? We need to feast on his faithfulness, to be grateful for what he's done for us. You say, well, I don't know too much. Listen, he saved you and he bought you with his blood. He shed his blood for you. He took stripes upon his back so you can be healthy and whole. He put a crown of thorns on his, they put a crown of thorns on his head so that you can have a sound mind.
Just because you turn 90 doesn't mean you have to become senile. It's a lie of the world. Doesn't mean that you have to have dementia. Oh, yeah, you know, when you get 80s, you know, you just forget everything. I forget, you know, just because I'm 85. You know, well, guess what? When you turn 85, you're going to be forgetful. Or you can say, hey, I've got the mind of Christ. My mind is sound. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. God gave me that. It's up to you and I to believe it and confess it. Let me see if I can get this. E.W. Kenyon said this. He said, confession is the road that is laid by faith to carry its cargo on. Confession lays the road for your faith to carry its cargo on. So what does that mean? Whatever, what do you want? What do you, these things do you want? Confession lays the road for you, for that cargo to be brought to you, for it to be manifested. I thought it was good. We have to meditate upon how good he is. You know that song we sing, He's a Good, Good Father? That's one of my top five favorite songs. I know it's old, but I just love that song. He's such a good, good father. People go, well, I just don't know what God's like. Would you use your imagination? What is the best father that you could possibly think of, you know? And it's not even measurable to the goodness of God. Amen. Some people says, well, I just don't know if God wants me to have this. Would you want that? Your kids to have that? Yes. Oh, so what you're... I said this to somebody this week. So what you're telling me is you're a better parent than God. You would do that for your kids, but you don't know if God would do that for you. That's warped thinking. Or it could be self-righteous thinking. Meditate upon how good he is. Just meditate upon how good he is. There's been so many times in my life, unfortunately, that I could not be here today. I could have been killed. I got to tell you this one. When I was between, I wasn't married to Melody, so I didn't have anybody to put guardrails up and tell me not to do things. So I was a free, totally man, did anything and everything that I wanted to. You think that's good? Not so much. It was between the first year and second year at Bible school in Raymond. So me and a few guys, we went to Lake Tin Killer. You ever heard of that? And it's in Oklahoma. We found a big, big cliff. Somebody says, how high? High enough that everybody was too scared to jump off of it. That's how high. And so this is what we did. This is how you know that sometimes men's synapses just are not connected at all. So we had there's this old guy, he was in a fishing boat, and he was coming by, and we said, do you have a depth finder? I mean, we were yelling. Did you have a depth finder on your boat? What? Do you have a depth finder on your boat? How deep is it right here where we're going to jump? Nobody went down there to check it out. Can you believe that? I'll think about that, and it scares me even telling this story. You know, if you're going to jump, you know, I don't know, 50, 60, 70, I don't know how high up, into water, you should go and see if there's rocks, anything. Nope. We just asked some guy who could have been seen now. And he was, is there a depth finder? Yeah. How deep is it right there? He goes over there, brrr. 35 feet deep. I go, hey, that's good. I may go down 20, but I know I won't go down 35. And so he putts along. So when I hit, did you know you can jump? I didn't know this till that day. You can jump from such a height that water loses its softness. It is no longer soft. It is like concrete. You think, man, this is, when I hit that, I hit it, and I hit it wrong. I don't know if somebody, you know, everybody jumped, they were fine, they swam off to the side, you know, I'm last. So when I hit wrong. And I don't know what happened, but I died because my spirit came out of my body, and I saw my body
in way down in the water, and it was shaped in a U. My legs were floating up that way, and my arms were floating. I was just like a U, floating. And when I was staring at my body, I thought, that's me. I said that. That's me. And I'm sitting here staring at myself, and I'm real thinking, I'm dead. I'm literally thinking this. Well, I'm dead. Because I know he looks dead. I look dead. That's me. And about that time, I went right back into my body. And so I'm coming, and man, when I came to myself, I felt like I was 100 feet below sea level because I'm swimming with, adrenaline and everything. I mean, I'm kicking, and I'm swimming and paddling and kicking and swimming and paddling and kicking. And when I break the surface, I'm going, and right as I broke, everybody on the side starts clapping. What are y'all clapping for? We thought you were dead. You were underneath the water forever. And I thought, I didn't think of that then, but I thought later, how come anybody didn't jump in to try to save me? Yeah, those are your friends. Oh, yeah, man. How long? Man, he's been down 3 minutes. How long can somebody hold their? I can't hold my breath for 3 minutes, just so you know. Just so you know. Yeah, man, we thought you were a goner. I didn't tell that story for years, because I mean, I'm sure I was white. I mean, it scared the snot out of me. So anyway, I thought they were going to have to change that lake to 11 Killer, not 10 Killer. 11. What's the name of that lake? Well, it used to be 10 Killer. Now it's 11 Killer. Anyway, why did I say all that? There was a point. Forgot what the point was. I mean, thought that was a good story. There's a reason why I told it, though. The goodness of God, that's what it was. So I meditate on that from time to time because I said, God, thank you for saving me that day. I mean, I could be dead. You wouldn't be here, Jared, Joe, just so you know. You better thank God, too. You wouldn't be here. Thank you, God, that my dad didn't die that day. I would not be here. Thank you. You are so faithful. Anyway, I'm going to close with a scripture. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. I love this scripture. This is the Amplified Version. It says, let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, variance, lust, craving for earthly possessions. Be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not. Now listen, this says it in the Amplified, but in the original Greek, this is what this phrase means. And so the Amplified translated this actually better than the King James or any version. This is what it says. I will not. Now, if your parents or somebody says that to you, you can just take it to bank. What point are you trying to make here? I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not. That's the faithfulness of God. He says, no matter what, I've got you. I'm going to carry you. You're good. I'm going to pick you up. I got you. Man, I thought about that, after I swam out of that stupid lake. I thought, God had me. He had me. Or I could have been dead. I could have died. And that was one of other times that I could have died. That's just one of the many times that I know. I had a praying mom. That was a 24/7 job, just so you know. Because she knew I did things like that. She says, I don't know where Mike is, but Jesus, help him be faithful, carry him, because he does not know what he's doing. The faithfulness of God. Psalms 37 says you need to feast on that. that God is faithful to you. Not just to somebody else, he's faithful to you. If you may not have a ton of stories, but if you have just a handful of stories, if you have one story that you can meditate upon, that you know that God helped you through something. Maybe you had a tragedy in your life. Maybe your parent died, or maybe you lost a child or whatever. I can guarantee you God carried you through that. And you need to thank him for the faithfulness. Thank him that he was faithful. I don't know how people get through things in life without God. One way they do is through just drink it away or drug it away. But we have a God who takes it away. Amen? Let's stand. Hallelujah. He's good. He's a good, good Father. He is so good. I am thankful for him. He's so patient with us. We can always be thankful that God is patient with you. Even when you're messing up or struggling with anything, God is faithful. He is faithful. Feast, it says to feast on his faithfulness. Feast about how good he is to you. I've said this before. Nobody, listen to this. Nobody's going to go through the pearly gates and say this. You know what? I overestimated your goodness. Nobody's going to be able to go through the pearly gates and do that. Yeah. I really thought you were a lot better than what you really were. I overestimated how good you really were. No, we're going to get to heaven and realize, dear Lord, I had no clue. I had no clue how good you were. Man, I had no clue how good you were, God. But this is the thing. He wants you to know it down here. Not when you get to heaven. He wants you to know how good he is in the here and now, in the dirty, nasty now. He wants you to know how good he is. Amen. What does that take? Get into the Word of God. Spend time with him. Have good fellowship with people that know God. That talk about instead of, you know, I tell you what, you know what they're doing up there in Washington. You know, it's just the most stupid thing in the world. You know what? They've been doing stupid things ever since there's been a Washington. I know it's times 10 now, but I mean, it's still. Man, let's put our trust in God. I said, let's put our trust in God. Let's put our faithfulness in him. Let's put our faith. Well, you can't trust man. The Bible even says it's like putting trust in a loose tooth or a foot that's out of joint. I mean, how much faith can you have in that if the foot's out of joint or a loose tooth? When you put all of your faith and trust in man, that's what happens. But God says, you can trust and put your faith in me, and I'll never, ever, 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 ever grow weary or let you down. I will be there. Woo! Can we just thank him for a minute for his faithfulness? Father, we thank you that you are faithful to us. We thank you that you are faithful, God. You're faithful, you're faithful, you're faithful to your people, to your children. You've always have, you always will be, and you always are faithful to us. Thanks be to God, thanks be to God. You're a faithful God. Thank you, Lord. Times are hard, when finances are tight, when our health is failing, you are faithful, God. And we can look to you, we can look to you. Not look to ourselves, we can look to you. Jesus' name. Amen.